Okay, hello and welcome to Farm Story, where I read my articles that get published in Country Life in BC. I write once a month for them. And yes, it's a podcast. Did you know that some people watch people coding computer code? And you can also watch people playing video games. So listening to my boring old farm story, I think stacks up just fine against those two things. Okay, here we go. This one is from May, Country Life in BC. The potatoes are waking up to spring by showing signs of sprouting. Somehow, despite determined efforts at preventing it from happening, they've sensed that the days are longer and there's slightly more warmth in the sun. No longer content with conforming to the standards of a sedentary indoor tuber destined for the fresh market, they're suddenly inclined to get outside, get into the ground, and get growing. This transformation from sedate table potato to totally rebellious sea potato is called breaking dormancy, and it's an inevitable expression of potato-ness. Frankly, it's always a bit disappointing when it happens with the eating potatoes. One day they're perfection, and you congratulate yourself for selling good-looking potatoes into April. Literally, the next day, there is an almost imperceptible budding around the eyes. Certainly very few big city market customers will notice that, so they're still saleable. However, the sprouts will soon be hard to miss, and you will be earnestly told by those city people that you're not supposed to eat sprouting potatoes. It's not true, and it's very inconvenient that this piece of agricultural lore has survived all these generations removed from the farm. So much of value has been lost, and yet this piece survives. Meanwhile, the sprouts are getting bigger and it's getting very time-consuming to snick them off before displaying the potatoes. Sprouty potatoes are not suited to the city, and you know their days are numbered at market. I can totally relate, although it's taken me decades to figure that out. In my 20s, I lived in the city and worked full-time at inside jobs. I didn't have a strong connection to agriculture at that time. The farm was too far away, I was too busy, and I really wasn't needed. In retrospect, it's possible to identify several springtime subpar job performance occurrences. I more or less lost interest in doing anything that wasn't outside. I didn't know it at the time, but I was acting like a seed potato, yearning to express my most farmy self and no longer conforming to expectations. In the early years of my adult farming career, I annually returned to the big city to work over the winter. I still didn't really get it, but I knew I should end the contracts by the end of March, before the urge to get outside to see what needed doing became problematic. Even that became a stretch. I did this for 5 seasons before giving up the city completely, generally managing to quit the jobs before being fired, but not always. Now here I am, a permanent full-time farmer, and I'm still not getting enough springtime, bonfire, and raking time. It's my own fault now. Yesterday was at least 15 degrees, and I was in the cooler and root house all day long making up seed potato orders. I can't blame the farm entirely for my lack of outside farming time, but I should know better than to deprive myself of it. However, as I had vowed not to mention the weather in this article, we must immediately move on. I'll try again next month, but there's a strong compunction to address that topic. Let's see, we should continue to focus on seed potatoes, as that is a strong theme at this time of year and requires concentration. We've got them almost all out the door, those that are going. The final phase will be the mail-outs. Northern BC, Alberta, Prince Edward Island, and downtown Toronto all must wait for the unreasonable overnight freezing temperatures to ease. Shoot, there's the weather again. No comment. That's that one. And it's double shot today because I'm going to do the June one as well. It just came in the door. And rather than having it sit on the side of my desk waiting for me to do this recording, I thought I would just get her done. Gosh, look at me, getting her done. Okay, so here's June, Country Life in BC. Do you ever arrive at work in the morning with a clear idea of what you'd like to accomplish for the day, only to discover right away that the other people at your work have a different set of priorities for you? This would happen all the time if I insisted on arriving with a commitment to my own task list, because on our farm there are at least 3 bosses. I don't mean to boast, but I can never be certain about what jobs the day will bring. Such luxury. Occasionally, however, I forget how lucky I am and unadvisedly arrive with clear objectives in mind. It's all fine unless the other people also have clear, different, and strong objectives. When they do, as happened the other day, something ironic happens. No one's priorities get addressed, but I think we end up doing what needs to be done. Is this a phenomenon that occurs when a group has achieved the management Shangri-La of a collective benevolent dictatorship? Or is it more of a cosmic joke played on loose operations like ours where everyone can be the boss? Do not cling, grasshoppers. Again, I'm not boasting, but I am part of a spontaneously prioritized and variously managed operation with no short-term objective agreement mechanisms and ephemeral long-term visions. We don't hold meetings, we don't share a to-do list, we all have strong opinions, but we'll blow in the wind if that's what's on tap for the day. I have no idea why we aren't among the nation's fastest growing companies. I am aware that most successful businesses feature a more organized top-down management structure, with one boss telling the next level of bosses what to do and so on down the line. I can tell this involves a lot of meetings, motivational emails, and most of the people doing what they are told to do and not striking out on whimsical tangents. I sometimes find myself accidentally pining to work in just such a system. While I don't crave workshopping goals and performance objectives or striving daily to fulfill the expectations of my employer, I do fantasize a little about agreeing to do what I'm told to do. That's why I love working on other people's farms. There's no need to ask questions, suggest innovations, or debate directions. Just do the work that somebody else has decided you will do today. Right now, the other farms are sorting seed potatoes. The job is to stand before an endless stream of potatoes and pick out debris, oversized potatoes, and rocks. There's glory in finding rocks. There's hardly any in Pemberton Fields, and they look like potatoes, so it takes a sharp eye to recognize one. You tap your prize on metal with triumph, alerting everyone to your excellence before chucking it in the rock bucket and receiving the ego-boosting congratulatory glance from the boss. This is not mindless work, as so many haughty management types would like you to think. In fact, it is the opposite. Once you have the physiological mechanics sorted out according to the task, hand-eye coordination stuff mainly, with a certain amount of baseline attention devoted to safety, your mind is free to wander at will. Many an article have I composed over the years in just such a situation. Not only that, but my catalog of farm skills contains a largish amount of material gleaned from watching the various bosses fixing and organizing things. I notice we aren't the only farm in the world with more than one boss. I'm going to segue now into a rant about the misuse and abuse of precious BC farmland in the Agricultural Land Reserve. Consider that done. All right, that's it. I'm up to date with my articles. Now I have to sit down and write another one quickly. I have one due next week. I have no idea what I'm going to write about. I don't usually know until I get a little idea, like a little, really like one tiny little idea, and then I just try to riff on it from there. And it generally turns into 650 words and I'm off to the races. All right, I hope everyone's doing well, and I'll be back soon.